Wel, ons is bezig met een fantastische reeks hier op Radio Groot Rivier en dit is natuurlijk die Suidlander Geselse reeks. En met hierdie reeks gaan ons gesels met die departementshoofde en leiers van die Suidlanders. Wel, ons het al redelijk met baie van hulle gesels. En dit is om meer perspektief te kry van wat achter die skerms gebeur by hierdie organisasie. So, welkom in die eerste plek dan nou ook by Radio Groot Rivier as jy nou so pas ingeskakel het en ek hoop jy gaan hierdie reeks geniet. Vanavond is die tweede keer dat ons met Simon Roche gesels. Hy is die nationale departementshoof van buitenlands en die onderwerp vanavond is Amerika. Nou, hy het nie te lang gelede dat hy in Amerika gaan draai nie en dis hoe ook daar die liekie van Lynyrd Skynyrd se Sweet Home Alabama gespeel het. Kom ons kyk of ons vir Simon hier aan die lyn kan kry. As hy.
Ja, as hy, skies toch Marius, dis my skuld.
Geen probleem nie, Simon. Welkom en hallo weer eens.
Ja, baie dankie. Ek is blij om hier te wees, Marius.
Dis hy. So ek het nou klaar vir die luisteraars gesê, dat is vanavond is die tweede keer, dat ons met jou gesels. Jy is die nationale departementshoof van buitenlands van die Suidlanders. En ja, ek het hulle so vinnig ook ingelig. Ek het een lekker Amerikaanse liedjie gespeel hier op die lig en gesê, dis nou half in die motief van vanavond, want ons gesels bykie oor Amerika.
Ja, ons gaan vanavond oor Amerika gesels.
Dat is hy, so Simon, jy het nou onlangs na Amerika toe gegaan, hoe het gebeur dat jy daar een draai gemaakt het, is daar sekere mense wat jou uitgenooi het om te kom, of vertel ons bykie?
Ja, Marius, André Coetzee, the former head of security of Suidlanders, and I went to the USA on like an off chance, you know, we worked on it for about 6 months, in late 2016, early 2017, and we flew at the beginning of March 2017. André was there for 9 weeks, and then he came back to South Africa to open the now very famous Opiedek restaurant in Van der Kloof. And I stayed altogether for 6 months. And that established a good relationship with many people in the USA, many rechtses. And so we were invited to go back, I think, 3 times in 2018. And that led to 2 invitations to Europe and 2 invitations to the USA in 2019. Then we had COVID and the travel restrictions. Obviously, I didn't get the vaccination, so I could only go again when the travel restrictions were fully lifted, which was, I think, at the beginning or the end of August of last year. And by the 18th of September, I was on a plane. And yes, we've received invitations for almost every trip. Once again, when the subject came up, 2 American guys said, okay, we'll pay for the flights. And then the one guy said, no, I'm paying for the flight. So the other guy said, okay, well, I'll contribute to the trip. And then one of Mr. Miller's, let's say, inner circle, and Louis and Marguerite Hutton, I know that the first guy won't want his name mentioned, said, well, you know, we'll pay for the rest of the trip, the not the flights, you know, the car and the accommodation and this and that. So we worked out a budget and I went there and the rest is history. I was there for 3 months last year.
Sure, ja. Nee, ek kan onthou, jy het ons mooi geopdateer oor waar jy gaan en met wie jy gesels en so aan. Maar so wat is die einddoel wat jy graag en die Suidlanders graag wou bereik het met jy wat Amerika toe gegaan het nou met hierdie laaste trippie van jou?
There were 3 goals. The chief goal, I would say, let's call it 70% of the motivation, is to spread the word. American rechtses are not always Christians, and those that are seldom believers in prophecy, and we thought it was most important to spread the word, to help other conservative Christians in the world to understand what is coming, to understand what the Lord has prophesied, to understand perhaps the prophecies of Sina von Rendsburg. And then, let's say there was a 15% motive to try and raise some money, and a 15% motive to raise awareness of Saitlanders, because it's important that we should be active in the Betaland and that we should be recognized. We want to be a player. We want to have a reputation, some establishment when the prophecies come in fulfilling the final prophecies. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we go around the world telling people that there's going to be a third world war, three great haystacks, Russia, you know, goes through Turkey in one night and invades Europe, and then there's a terrible war, and Russia is destroyed, and the USA becomes a klein, onbenullige lanky, and that the Christians flee Europe. And they are Witdente from Cape Town to the Orange River and from Durban to Maputo, or Lorenzo Marx, if you prefer. And Germany reestablishes herself in Duits Wes, and South Africa becomes the only Christian country in the world. Those very standard great prophecies of Sina von Rendsburg. And if we believe in them, if we have true faith in them, then it's not only important that we share them, but that we are, that there's an identifiable entity, that it's not just some guy who wrote a book or gave a speech or did an interview. People must know, hey, they're those Saitlanders guys. They've got a national emergency plan. They've got a solution. Let's come on. Let's see what we can do. Maybe we can escape this nuclear holocaust. You know, let's get to South Africa, let's get to Namibia. So yeah, recognition, fundraising, but above all, spreading the true word.
Nee, dit is van kardinale belang. En dan, soos ons nou laasweek ook gesels het, hoe belangrik dit is dat die mense daar buite weet van die Saitlanders. Ons gaan nie nou weer daarby 'n draai gemaak hier. Die mense kan gerus die pot gooi of die podcast gaan luister daaroor, wat jy verduidelik het presies wat is jou doel en jou departement. Maar ja, dit is dalk net goed dat mense vinnig weer daarin raak let. Want soos jy sê, as die buiteland weet van wat aan die gang is met ons hier in Suid-Afrika, dan niemand kan dit dan deny nie. As daar nou dinge is wat besig is om te gebeur en ons daai kommunikasielyne, soos jy laasweek gesê het, dit is baie baie belangrik. Maar Simon, van die publieke, die normale persoon, die normale Jan Rapp op die straat, wat is hulle gevoel op die oomblik van wat aan die gang is in Amerika?
Man, Marius, it's a difficult thing. You know, America is rapidly becoming a laughing stock of the world. Joe Biden, I don't know what's the right word to use. I'm going to use the word that was polite in our house when we were children. Pooing in his pants on stage last week is a symptom of a kind of a malaise, an illness in the USA. You know, their debt is now $34.7 trillion. I think by tomorrow it'll be $34.8 trillion. The country is falling apart. It has lost its core identity. It's being flooded with migrant males, able-bodied migrant males in their late teens, 20s, and 30s. On Sunday, this past Sunday, the 9th of June, the 50-year-long, it wasn't a 50-year deal, it was 10 five-year deals. But the 50-year-long petrodollar deal between Saudi Arabia and the USA expired, and the Saudis refused to renew it, meaning that the US dollar is no longer propped up by the demand that every country in the world has had to have for 50 years, every country in the world that wanted to buy oil had to do so in trading with OPEC, led by Saudi Arabia. In dollars. So it artificially inflated the value and the cost of US dollars. There are many huge things happening in the USA at the moment, and none of them are good. That's the chief impression if you talk about Jan Rapp and Seymour.
Yeah.
I talk ordinary people in the USA. 99% of them have no clue what's going on. But the 1% that does sees what I'm describing to you.
They see
the inflation. They see the loss of value of the dollar. They see the madness in their politics. They see the LGBTQ being forced down the throats of their children at school. That's what Jan Rapp is experiencing.
Ja, ja. En ek het onderhoud gesien van Trump en hy het gesê, is dan baie snaaks dat Biden nie, hy is nie geskik om in die hof te mag verskyn nie, maar hy is geskik om die president te wees. Hoe maak dit sin? Dit is waansin. Dit is, soos jy sê, hulle is bezig om, laat allemaal vir hulle bezig is om te begin lag vir hulle. Die meer kenner persoon, die mense wat jy nou regtig waar eintlik mee gaan en gaan gesels daarmee, die regse mense, wat is hulle gevoel op die oomblik van die land? Wat dink hulle gaan gebeur?
They are bewildered. They don't know whether they're coming or going anymore. I get many inquiries from the USA on a daily basis, just by the way, asking me, what is my impression of this? What are my thoughts on that? How do I think this is going to play out? Who do I think is going to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The American conservatives tend to be very much better read than South Africans. And ek praat nie ons mense sleg nie. I'm just saying, as a symbol of this, if you go to a conference in the USA, the people are dressed to the nines. Nobody wears jeans. I have never seen one person wear a pair of jeans at a right-wing conference. They dress like they're going to church or going to meet King Charles. And that is symbolic of how seriously they take their sark. And they read. They know stuff. They have information. They're very, very classy people. But it has now become so crazy that even these top guys that I deal with daily, and some of them are very top, politicians, people in the Pentagon, millionaires, they are asking, did Wimsina say anything about this? Has Mr. Miller said anything about that? I told Mr. Miller the other day that on one particular day I got a lift with a chummy when I was in the USA to go and buy something. And we were in the car altogether we had to go a few towns away. We were in the car probably for 3 hours. And this guy made me translate every single word of Mr. Miller's December the 16th speech.
Wow.
They are desperate to try and get some comprehension of what the hang is going on. Their country is going mad. It's falling to pieces. And they can't comprehend it. They just don't, they can't put all the pieces of the puzzle together. Even these superstars who read so well, who learn so well, who are so familiar with so many things. That's just too much for them.
Ja, sure. Ja, nee, ek weet amper nie wat om terug oor te sê nie, ek probeer myself indink as ek in hulle skoene was, en jy is 'n regse tipe persoon, en jy besef hoe jou land net gelei word deur hierdie bose, amper wil ek sê bose magte, bose leiers, en hierdie dinge wat in jou keel afgedruk word, en ja, jy voel, ek dink dat jy moet voel of jou hande afgekap is, en jy nie regtig waar iets kan doen nie. Ek glo hulle allemaal hoop maar dat Trump nou gaan die president raak en laat hy 'n verbetering kan maak. Dink jy Trump gaan dalk 'n verskil kan maak as hy dalk nou president raak?
I don't think he can change anything. He's like Cyril Ramaphosa. When Cyril Ramaphosa was elected president, people rejoiced. And we made a series of videos in which I explained to people that Cyril Ramaphosa is not going to be able to fix the problem in your municipality. One man, not that I think that he's a goodie, but if you believe he's a goodie, and if I'm wrong and he is a goodie, he's still not going to be able to undo all of the corruption, the harm, the damage throughout the entirety of South Africa. And Donald Trump is, you know, to give you some idea, the last U.S. budget was $6.13 trillion, federal budget. The federal income tax gross was $4.44 trillion, meaning that there was a shortfall of $1.7 trillion, which is 38% of the budget. Imagine being 38% short on your salary every single month, and you borrow, you have to borrow money. So you earn 20 grand, you're, what would that make it, 7,600 rand short. Every month of your life, you loan, you borrow 7,600 rand from the bank just to make ends meet. Yeah. Donald Trump can't fix that. There's no such thing. The USA, of that $6.13 trillion budget, the USA is paying just in interest on its $34.8 trillion debt, $1 trillion a year. Plus, it has to repay capital. This year, for instance, it has to repay $7 trillion of capital, which means that it has to take another $7 trillion in loans because it can't, it doesn't have the money to repay the capital. Its budget is already 38% short with just the $1 trillion for interest in the budget. So there are really big problems in the USA, and Donald Trump is not a magician. He'll say lots of spectacular things. He'll lie and people will believe the lies. He'll say he's going to build a border wall and there'll be some pretty pictures. And just like the last time around, the border wall will only stretch for 100 miles. And so the migrants will go around it. Sorry that I'm shouting, but it drives me crazy that people fall for this nonsense. When Donald Trump entered the White House last time, the U.S. debt was $19.8 trillion. When he left, it was $27.8 trillion. In other words, it was almost 20, and when he left, it was almost 28. He added $8 trillion. Sure. 8 as a part of 20 is 40%. So from 1776 until 2016, the USA accumulated practically $20 trillion in debt. He increased it by 40% in 4 years. And people think he's the good guy. It's unbelievable. He is the single greatest cause of the currency and financial and inflation crisis in the USA at the moment. He is a Wall Street bankster, wheeler dealer. Many of the things that he says are absolutely marvelous, but he's a man who is neck deep in doing deals with the devil. He has spent a lifetime raising huge money from foreign bankers, European banking families, to erect his projects. And I'm not saying he's all bad. I'm just saying that he's going to do what he did last time. He's going to spend an enormous sum of money to make the Americans believe that everything is wonderful. Then he's going to bugger off and they're going to have to pay it back. And he won't even look over his shoulder. Yeah. And on top of that, he's not going to change anything. He's not going to drain the swamp. He's not going to build the border wall. He's not going to be able to eradicate LGBTQ. He's not going to be able to take the USA back to the day before the Roe versus Wade abortion decision. I don't know if you know, but over 50% of black female, well, obviously female, black pregnancies in the USA are terminated.
Sure.
It's 51% is the precise number.
Yeah.
Abortion in the USA is like a national disease. He's not going to change that. He's not going to change the fentanyl thing. If he wanted to change the fentanyl thing, he would have done it previously. So, yeah, I don't see him as the good guy. But if I'm wrong and he is a good man, and those videos that do the rounds talking about how he traces his lineage back to King John the First and the Trump family when they were in Scotland, they were the most Christian family, and his great uncle had visions and, or, you know, we've all seen those videos. If that is the case, and I am wrong, I will admit it. I'll stand up and say I was wrong. But I don't believe for 1 minute that we're going to see anything different to what we saw last time. Fantastic words. The man is just the best in the world when it comes to talking bull and getting people to believe it. But I don't think we'll see anything but harm come out of his presidency.
Ja, nee, ek stem saam met jou. Dit is too far along. Dit is te ver om heeltemal 'n terugkeer te kan hê, soos wat hy nou in sy woorde sal sê, to make America great again. Maar ek het gou-gou 'n vraag hierso van 'n luisteraar af, Simon. The question is, who do they borrow from? Dit is van Michael af hier uit Appington uit.
They don't print the money. That's a fallacy. You know, people say, oh, they just print the money. Or they say they print the money out of thin air. They don't. The amount of money in circulation of US dollars is a small fraction of the numbers in question. So that's the first thing to say. They just put a zero on a thing. How it works is there are 7 Jewish banking families from Europe and the Rockefellers that own the banks that own the 12 Federal Reserve banks in the banking system. So the Federal Reserve banking system is neither federal, nor are they banks, neither is it a system. It's just 12 banks that add zero. So what they do, the Treasury, so the Department of Finance of the USA, or the president, whatever, they say, we need to borrow $1 trillion more. The Federal Reserve banks, 12 of them, say, okie dokes, you've got $1 trillion. Just add it to your computer. You've got our permission. So they don't do anything as such. And they collect 2% interest in granting that right. So sure. That right now, this year, the 12 Federal Reserve banks, which are owned by a group of banks that are owned by seven Jewish families in Europe. Actually, 4 of them are in Europe, 3 in the USA, and then there's the Rockefellers. It's the only Christian family that has any influence over the US Federal Reserve system. 4 families from Europe, 4 from the USA. And they get 2% on that $34 trillion. This year, they will collect another 2% for doing exactly nothing. 2% on $34 trillion is nice money if you can make it.
Yep.
What they then do is that they authorize the selling of bonds. So the money in terms of the spending of it, not the fictional adding a zero, whatever, in terms of spending. Now, you've got to provide some substance somewhere, is raised in bonds. And those bonds are typically bought by the Chinese and the Japanese and many other institutions. The California State Employees Pension Fund, the German Universities Pension Fund, whatever. But stereotypically, they are bought by the Chinese and the Japanese, and then the list goes on and on and on and on. What we've seen in recent days is that the Chinese have been offloading their American bonds. They've been selling them at a discount to other people. In other words, they've got these bonds, these pieces of paper that say that the United States of America, this is a, let's say, $100 bond over 30 years. So for 30 years, the USA is going to pay the Chinese, I think it's now about 4.5% a year. And then after 30 years, like this year, I said the $7 trillion must be paid up this year, capital. the Chinese, after 30 years, will get the $100 that they used to buy that bond back, and they get 2%, or 4.5%, I should say, I beg your pardon, between now and then. So what it is magic money. It's all a big illusion. It's money made out of nothing, but not really made either. there's a pretense that it's made. It is really, genuinely, when people say fiat currency is a bulldust story, it really is a bulldust story. That's not conspiratorial or something like that. It really is just a fiction. And, of course, the irony is that the fiction is perpetrated on the taxpayer, because the Federal Reserve banking system knows that it's a bulldust story. The owners of the Fed know that it's a bulldust story. The Treasury knows that it's a bulldust story. The people who buy the bonds and collect 4.5% a year know that it's a bulldust story. But the people who pay in the end the taxes into the U.S. budget, we spoke earlier about the $4.44 trillion that were collected against a budget of $6.13 trillion. The people who pay the $4.44 trillion in taxes in order to pay $1 trillion a year interest on the U.S. debt, so in other words, almost 25%, call it 20%, of the entire U.S. annual federal budget goes to paying the interest on these loans, on this made-up money. The taxpayers, that's the one group of people that has no clue what's going on. All the others know that it's a lie. And the taxpayers think, oh, it's very complicated. I wonder how they do it. Golly goodness, it's too much for me. And they just continue to pay their taxes on money that doesn't exist. Or to serve debt that is denominated in money that doesn't exist.
Ja, so as hierdie ander lande hulle bonds begin terugverkoop het, en dan nou die petrol dollar gaan basies nou tot op 'n einde kom, hulle gaan ons nou terug na die gold standard toe, dit beteken dat Amerika se hele geldstelsel gaan moet collapse, daar is geen manier dat dit nie kan collapse nie, is ek korrek as ek dit sê?
Yeah, well, the gold standard thing is interesting. How that happened was that at the end of World War II in 1944, from the 2nd of June to the 22nd of June. Yeah, I think the 2nd to the 22nd of June, 1944. 44 countries, the 44 allied countries met to ask the USA for their gold back. What had happened was, during the course of the war, the USA had been dishing out weapons and all sorts of things like sweets. And they said to the countries in question, so Great Britain, the Soviet Union, look, don't worry about a thing. We'll figure it out later. For now, just give us your gold. You know, we can't have nothing. Give us your gold. And they said, oh, okay, jolly good, we'll give you our gold. And so the whole world gave its gold, or the major countries of the world, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain, South Africa, you know, at a time when Uganda and, you know, when there were only 40 or 50 substantial countries, gave their gold to the USA to hold against these things that the USA was dishing out like sweeties. Come 1944, the countries say, look, we've won the war, but next year it's going to be done. We can all see the writing on the wall. We need to figure out this gold thing, because our currencies are backed by the gold that we've given to you to look after for us. So you need to tell us how much do we owe you for all of the bullets and the butter and the what have you that you've given us, so that we can work out a thing, and you need to give us our gold back. Otherwise, our currencies are backed by nothing. Now, that meeting for 20 days took place at the Mount Washington Hotel in the village of Bretton Woods in New Hampshire. And at that meeting, the USA said, we're not going to give you your gold back. Take it or leave it, we're not giving it back. But we've got a clever system for you, a clever solution. We will back the US dollar with gold. All of your gold now becomes our gold. And we will back the dollar with that gold, the gold of the whole world practically. And we will link your currencies to our currencies. And then the traders can figure it out. The traders in London, the traders in France, the traders in wherever. You know, today there's been a drought in Italy. Okay, the lira will go down a little bit. There's been a new invention in Germany. All right, the Bundesmark will go up a little bit. They'll trade on the basis of what they see cooking in the various countries. Take it or leave it. So, from 1944 until 1971, the currencies of the world were technically backed by a currency that was backed by gold. In 1971, the USA was printing too much money for the Vietnam War for it to be able to claim that it was backed by gold. It was reaching the point where people were saying, listen, we're not that stupid. There's no ways that you've got, let's say, we make up a number, $10 trillion worth of gold in the vaults there. But you are creating a money supply of $10 trillion. There's no gold backing anymore. Come on, we're not stupid. So on Friday the 13th of August 1971, a decision was taken to go off the gold standard, and it was announced on Sunday the 15th of August, and it was implemented, most people don't know this, actually only 2 years later, 1973. So for 50 years, we have been off the gold standard. There has been no gold backing of any currency, no matter how indirectly, anywhere in the world. And the big brains of the world are saying that on Sunday, this past Sunday, the 9th of June, was kind of the final nail in the coffin of the US dollar. Last year, 2023, was 50 years of all of the currencies of the world not being backed by gold. And because of how bonds work, it's very, very, very complicated. If anybody's interested, there's a guy that they can look up. Oh, I'll think of his name in a minute on YouTube who explains this beautifully. Because of how bonds work, there was like a 50-year rope that you could swing on. And it came to an end last year. And they're now saying, combine that with this petrodollar disaster of Sunday, and now we have the black swan conditions for basically a world of currencies backed by nothing, backed by a currency that is being debased by the fact that nobody needs to use it anymore. The whole world had to buy dollars to buy oil. That ended on Sunday. So they're saying that the fiction that was backed by a fiction, that was backed by a fiction, that was backed by something that is kind of real, is now backed by a fiction, by a fiction, by a fiction, by a fiction. So we live in very interesting times, Marius.
Sure, yeah. Nee, dit is definitief so, Simon, en ek dink Amerika is een van die plekke wat ek nie sal wil wees nie. Nie oor dat ek dink hulle het nie mooi natuurskoon nie en fantastiese tipe mense nie en so aan nie, maar as ek nou 'n land moet kies wat ek sal in wees, dan sal ek maar net hier in Suid-Afrika bly en definitief nie in Amerika wil sit nie. Simon, dan 'n laaste vraagie net so voor ons groet is, wat was al die terugvoer van wat jy gekry het na jy nou jou reis afgehandel het en nadat jy nou so 2 weke of 'n maand terug was hier by die huis? Wat was die gevolgtrekkings en die terugvoer van die hele Amerikaanse kuier van jou?
Well, it's worth mentioning that the right wing in the USA has been destroyed. I attended a conference which previously would have had 220 people at. 8 people arrived. One of them was me and 7 other people. I attended another conference that I've previously spoken at with over 400 people, and we knew that because of the USA fire code. It became a problem. There were too many people in the building. There were 23 people at that conference. The right wing of the USA has been destroyed by Joe Biden, by the prosecution following the January 6th, what is the right word, invasion of the Capitol, January 6th, 2021, following the 2020 election. In that sense, you can't say that the tour was a great success. But did we get lots of radio interviews? Yeah, tons. Did we get lots of newspaper interviews? Did we get many invitations? Yes, yes, and yes. Were we able to hold certain strategic meetings pertaining to the national emergency plan of Zuid-Landers? Exceedingly valuable, strategically valuable meetings. Yes. So, we made the money go a long way. It was meant to be a 6-week trip at the most. We stretched the money very, very, very far to get as much as we could out of it because we weren't getting a lot of personal interaction. You know, people are scared in the USA. They are terrified of being prosecuted by the FBI for being rechts, you know, on bulldust charges. But nevertheless, the trip was worth it. And it will hold value in the future. That's a guaranteed certainty. You know, it will be valuable for us. In die tijd wat voor lê, vir ons national emergency plan.
Ja. Ok, fantasties. Dankie Simon, dit was weer eens baie lekker om met jou te gesels. Volgende week doen ons weer dieselfde en dan gaan ons bietjie die onderwerp van Amerika af wegvat en ons gaan dan Rusland en Oekraïne bietjie bespreek.
Ja, it promises to be very good and maybe quite sensitive. I think we could upset quite a few people. I don't think that many people know a lot of the background story to what's going on in Gaza and in Ukraine. Now, those are two different things.
Yeah.
But I just mentioned there is a similar background story. And I think it makes a lot of evangelical Christians very uncomfortable to hear the truth about those things. So we might upset a few people next week.
Hey, wel, dit mag dalk net goeie radio wees. Simon, okay, ek gaan nou eers vir jou groet en tot sien sê, baie dankie weer eens, en dan vir die mense wat nie, weet nie, teen morgen middag gaan ons die pot gooi live van hierdie gesels, as julle dit dalk gemis het. Simon, ek gaan vir jou ook die link aanstuur, en dan kan die mense dit weer luister. Maar van my kant af, weer eens, baie dankie vir die gesels, Simon, en ek hoop jy het 'n lekker en 'n geseënde aand verder.
Thank you very much for the privilege of being able to hold this conversation with you. I appreciate it, Marius.
Groot plezier. Tot ziens.
All right, cheerio. Bye-bye.
Dat is so, ons het gesels met Simon Roche, hy is die Nationale Departementshoof van Buitenlands, en vanavond sy onderwerp was Amerika gewees. So ek hoop jy as die luisteraar het bietjie iets niets miskien gehoor of geleer hieruit, dit is maar ook hoekom ons dan hierdie onderhoude doen met van die leiers van die Zuid-Landers. En dan ja, volgende week, soos Simon gesê het, gesels ons bietjie oor Oekraïne en Rusland, en soos hy sê, dit mag dalk 'n paar mense ontstel as hulle die waarheid uitvind van wat alles daar agter die skerms aangaan, nie nou huidiglik soos wat hulle gaan nie, maar ook dan nou in die verlede wat was die oploop tot waar ons nou vandag staan.